You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Ushers will put one in your midst. I've entitled our message this morning, Shibboleth. And of course, you all know what that means, right? Well, by the end of this message, it's going to be more to you than it ever has before. If it hasn't, it will now. We are going to break up our verses. We're going to go from verse 5 to 22. We're going to have counsel. Are you guys ready? Culpable, cornerstone, conundrum, conviction, and common sense. Yeah. All right. Now, I want you to hang this on your belt for later. I'm going to tell you right off the bat what Shibboleth means. Okay? Back in Judges chapter 12, you don't have to turn there. The Israelites have an issue. They're in battle. And the Israelites realize that they could have a spy or someone try to come into the territory. So they realize that there are certain words that are difficult for others to pronounce, such as Shibboleth. And so they said, anyone who tries to come into the territory, we will just have them say Shibboleth. And so they have some people that try and come in, and they say, instead of Shibboleth, they say Shibboleth. They can't say the sh part. And then they know that they are not from that territory, and then bye-bye, you're a spy. So what has happened because of that, Shibboleth, it's become a term in the English language, which means to determine which side you are on. It's also, in other words, used in the same way as an acid test or a litmus test to see the authenticity of something. You know, I lived in Louisville, Kentucky for a while. And one thing that you know once you live there for a while, when I first moved in there, I'd say, hey, so you've been in Louisville for a while? And they were, where's that? I said, where we're at? They go, no, it's Louisville. I was like, Louisville? Where do you get it? It's Louisville. It's like Prescott. It's like Prescott. No, it's Prescott. Well, same kind of thing. So Shibboleth is what they use to figure out if you were from the territory or not. Pretty ingenious, right? Okay, hang that on your belt. Because it means, are you of them or not of them? Are you authentic? It's a litmus test. So hang that on your belt because it's going to mean even more to you as we move through this. Excuse me. As some of you know, I was sick last week. I'm feeling much better. But I'm going to, we'll get through this, no problem. So to get up to speed, let's review. Let's just go ahead and read the first four verses. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead. Now, the Sadducees, I explained to you this last week, that they were the religious liberals. But in their liberality, they did not believe in a coming Messiah. They did not believe in life after death. They didn't believe in the resurrection. So here's what they're preaching in the face of the Sadducees. Notice prior to this, we've been hearing about the Pharisees, Pharisees, Pharisees. The Pharisees believed in a coming Messiah. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. They just didn't believe in Jesus. But now it's in their face, so it's really bugging the Sadducees. So now here come the Sadducees. They're the bad dudes on the scene because it's going against the very thing that they preach that they don't believe. And they laid hands on them, not to pray for them. This is not good laying on of hands. And put them in custody until the next day. for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. So this is the second time that Peter has preached, the first two sermons ever given, and we're going to have we've had 8,000 people get saved with two sermons. I guess I'm not a very good pastor. But I'm doing my best. Shibboleth. All right, so let's look at counsel. By the way, apologize for the misprint. Not counsel as in counseling someone, but counsel like a group of men. So I apologize for the misprint. That's on me. I noticed that. I was like, why did I put counsel? Because I'm sleepy. All right, anyways. So let's look at verse, the counsel, not the counsel, verse 5 through 6. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. Now, no doubt, this is going to be the same court in which Jesus Christ was recently taken to and pronounced to hang on the cross. This would be the same courtyard where Peter denied Jesus three times. Now Peter finds himself in the position that he saw Jesus standing before these men. Now what we have here is the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin would be the elite of the elite. There would be 70 men. There were 70 Sanhedrins at this time. Plus, basically, he's in front of 71 people. The Sanhedrin, 70 Sanhedrin, and one being the high priest. Now, we also know this. Guess who else is here? Paul. Because Paul was a member of the Sanhedrin. So he's going to be witnessing all this. And we're going to see Paul in the background several times as we get to the portion of Scripture that we're going to be dealing with Paul. Now, no doubt, same men, same courtyard, same place where Peter denied, but not the same Peter. Peter has been changed. Changed how? Well, Peter is authentic. Peter is Shibboleth. He has the Holy Spirit in him. Things have changed. And so verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? In other words, whose authority? Who gave you the audacity to do the deeds you're doing? Wow. Well, no doubt, this council, 70 of the most respected, most intellectual, most powerful men in the Jewish community, plus the high priest. And they're asking him, who gave you, you little fishermen, who gave you the authority? Well, no doubt this council expected to intimidate by this questioning. When we begin to be used by God, folks, when you begin, when I begin, when we begin to be used by God, the enemy will try to intimidate us into quitting. That's what he wants to do. And by the way, we're going to see more of this as we move through in today's message. So there's something else to hang on your belt. And one other thing, understand that the disciples are going to benefit from the fact that the man that they just healed, he's standing there in their midst. And you're going to see how beautiful that is here in a moment. But let's look at the culpable in verse 8 through 7. You see there, 8 through 10. Thank you. Yes, I am dyslexic. I'm less dyslexic. Okay. So let's look at the culpable in verse 8 through 10. Let's move forward, not backwards, right? Yes, thank you. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Now, there's a There is a very important section, little sentence here, a little section of this sentence. It says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is telling us that he has filled him with the Holy Spirit, because we need to understand, it's going to say that several times. Now, you might be saying, wait. Wasn't he already filled with the Spirit? Why is it saying, of course he was filled with... No. You got to understand. This is another infilling. What? Yeah. In fact, in the Greek, the word speaks of present tense, not past tense. It's not saying Peter, having been filled with the Spirit, is now... No. You see, folks, you and I, we need to get infilled and infilled and infilled. Why? Because we leak. You're leaky. But leaky is good. Leaky is good. Why? Because it keeps you fresh. That doesn't sound good. It does. We're crackpots. We leak. We get infilled and we drip out. But listen, as I'm leaking out, I'm refreshing someone else. And by the way, they're going to be filled again. If you look down at verse 31, which we'll prayerfully get to next week, when they had prayed, verse 31, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they, look, they spoke in many tongues. No, it says, they spoke the word of God with boldness. Here, Peter's filled with the Holy Spirit. No mention of him speaking in tongues. Listen, I'm not against tongues. I think tongues are wonderful. If you have the gift of tongues, praise the Lord. I just think they're abused. They're overused and abused. And I think when the Holy Spirit wants to give you that, it can be a powerful, beautiful thing. But we'll see here, there's so many times they are filled with the Holy Spirit and not one utterance in a foreign tongue. Instead, a boldness. Boldness is the shibboleth. It's the proof of authenticity. Is when you have a boldness. Now, they're being confronted harshly, by the way. They were thrown in prison. They were in jail overnight. Overnight. They were kind of like, the reserves or something. just in prison overnight. But the next time, think about this. Here they are responding, being filled with the Holy Spirit. The next time you are being confronted, ask yourself, am I responding filled with the Holy Spirit? Or am I responding filled with myself? Now, you're going to see this boldness is a shibboleth. But when you're filled with the Spirit, there's a boldness, but there's not a lack of respect. Listen, I love this. They are filled with the Spirit. They may not have a fire dancing upon their head, but they definitely have a fire in their heart and in the words that they're saying. Boldness doesn't equal rudeness. It blows my mind. And sometimes I watch people, they have the right heart and the right intent, but man, is it an aggressive, unloving attack. I've seen that. I've seen that with like these street corner preachers with the bullhorn. You're going to hell. Homosexuality, burn in hell. And it's like, what? Why don't you just go and meet them, love them, get to know them, and then share Christ with them and let God convict where conviction needs to be? Look what it says. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, Peter addresses the Sanhedrin in perfect respect. He did not call to question their authority. How dare you, little pipsqueaks, you killed Jesus. How can you question? He doesn't do that. Rulers of the people, elders of Israel. He's an Israelite. He's calling them his elders. He's respecting their position. And by the way, Peter is also doing something else. He is practicing what he's going to teach later on. What he's going to teach later on? Yeah. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, You don't have to turn there, but write it down. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason for the hope that is in you. Look, watch this. With meekness and fear. Meekness and fear. Reverence. Here's the thing, folks, brothers and sisters. The innocent is always willing to be questioned. Do you realize that? When someone is innocent and you question them, they don't get haughty and angry. They go, yeah, I'll answer your questions. I'm not guilty of anything. The shibboleth believer, walking in truth, welcomes any opportunity to state the evidence for what they believe. That's what Peter is doing. And he's doing it with boldness. Why? Because he's authentic. He is real. He has the Holy Spirit. That is the proof of whether or not we belong. Whether or not we are from a heavenly region. That is our litmus test. Here, in the face of adversity, Peter is moving forward full steam ahead. The same place where he was cowering is the same place that now he's just going boldly. And by the way, he may have even remembered what Jesus had told him. What Jesus had said in Matthew 10. Excuse me. Matthew 10, verse 17 through 20. But beware of men. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, including Peter. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils. Look at that. And scourge you in the synagogues. Now, hold on a second. Jesus is telling them that you're going to be taken before councils and then you're going to be scourged in the prison? No. By the Rome? No, no. In the synagogues. That would be like someone telling you, look. You're going to be taken before the leadership of the church and they're going to whip you and beat you badly. Wow, great, awesome church. That's what he's saying. That's what Jesus said, and it's true, by the way. Well, not here. No, wait, that didn't sound right. No, it's what's going to happen to these guys in a synagogue. This isn't a synagogue. This is a house of God. Okay. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will be brought before governors and kings, watch this, for my name's sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, here you go, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in the hour that you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of the Father who speaks in you. Listen, when you have the Holy Spirit in you, you can say shibboleth. You can say it because you are it. You are authentic. And that's what's happening with Peter. He is speaking, but it's the Holy Spirit filling him. Why? Because the Holy Spirit needs to speak through him at this moment, and he is making himself available. Verse 9. If we this day are judged for good deeds done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to all, to you all. I love the you all, country boy. Let it be known to you all, yee-haw, and to all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Peter is hitting them with a splash of stark reality. Listen. He's saying, listen, y'all. He did say y'all. He said, listen, y'all. Why are you angry with us for healing a helpless man? You threw us in jail overnight for doing good. And by the way, not just good, incredible good. We looked at how amazing a miracle that was. But he says, okay, so you're angry at us for healing a crippled man. But what did you do? Well, I'm glad you asked. Watch what he says. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel. All the people of Israel, y'all need to know this, that by the name of Jesus Christ, Christ means Messiah, of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Dun, 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 dun. Chills run down their spine. Their jaw hits the table. Listen, we're accused for doing good to a good man, but you did bad to the Messiah. Who should be in jail? Who is guilty here? Man, you want to talk about turning the table? Wow. But notice this. I love this. Peter cuts to the chase. He's not long-winded. That was short. Oh, you want to know what power? You're mad at us for healing a guy? Well, here you go. Everyone, know this. He was healed by Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, the one you crucified. Wow. He gets to the point. He's not long-winded. Christian, can I make a suggestion? When you go to share Christ, don't be long-winded. The number one thing that turns non-believers off is when a Christian, meaning well, you got the right heart, goes in and preaches a sermon. And they're sitting there going, oh boy, in their heart. Because you know how I know this? Because I was one. And they'd come and I'm like, oh, wah, 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 wah. Boy, is this ever going to be over? Listen. He short to the point and left them with, there you go. Deal with it. I love that. Peter, and also, he's not trying to avoid their inquiry. He's not, you know, beating around the bush. He's not trying to soften the blow. He just gives them the blow. Here he is. You crucified the Messiah, but you're mad at us. That would be the vernacular. Listen, the old Peter probably would have went into politician mode, right? Well, you know, we pray like you pray, and, you know, he got healed. It was pretty groovy, huh? You know, but no, Jesus did it. You crucified Jesus. Why are you mad at us? By the way, I also like before that, when they first came to him, and they said, why do you look to us? We didn't do it. It wasn't by our power, our strength. Man, I wish more Christians would do that. More pastors would do that and recognize it's not when healing comes, it's all God. Give him the glory. Don't take any to yourself, for goodness sakes. But Peter is on fire. Peter is clearly proclaiming Shibboleth out loud. I am one of Christ. And we're going to see they recognize that as well, by the way. And what is the Shibboleth marker? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Once he was a fisherman, now he's a man of war clothed in heavenly armor. Eloquent with heaven's thunder, yet gracious with heaven's love. All mixed together. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the way Jesus was. Jesus was convicting yet loving. He didn't try and just give them nothing but a spoonful of sugar. He put the medicine in the sugar. And that's what Peter's doing here. So let's look at Cornerstone in verse 11 and 12. He says, this is a stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is one name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Wowie kazowie. Now, I love this. First of all, recognize that Peter quotes Scripture. He doesn't just give some, you know, convicting message. He wants to couple it with Scripture. Why? Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. And you say, what scripture? He just quoted Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which is rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. And then he goes, and by the way, in Matthew 21, 42, Jesus says the exact same thing. He quotes Psalm 118, 22 in reference to himself being the cornerstone. So he said it before he was crucified. Now Peter reminds them, you remember, you heard Jesus say that before he was crucified. Now I'm telling you it again. Just so you know, that's the same guy. And by the way, he's not dead. How do you know? Well, he's the one who healed him. We didn't do it. It was Christ's authority that healed the man. So yes, he's alive. Spooky. And he's God. And you hurt him. And he's mad at you. Not quite, but you get the idea. So, awesome. So folks, keep your message short. Don't wrap it all in sugar. Give them the medicine too. We're sinners in need of a Savior. And then of course, always couple Scripture with it. That's the most powerful message you could ever give. Let's look at conundrum in verse 13 and 14. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled. They realized that they had been with Jesus. Now, notice they saw the boldness. You see, remember, there's 71 of them. They're all bigwigs, and they're trying to interrogate. They probably even sat them down and put a light in their face. You know, it's like, where were you on January 15th and whatever? They're trying to scare them, and they're going, look at these guys. Look at their boldness. They all scattered before. Folks, let me reiterate this, because this is what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell us today. When someone has the Holy Spirit in them, now, I think you would all agree that when someone receives Christ, we receive what? The Holy Spirit. So if you are a born-again believer, you should have received the Holy Spirit. When someone has the Holy Spirit, there is a genuine boldness mixed with a humble confidence without a trace of arrogance, but standing firm on what is true and what they know to be true and will not back down for nothing. That is shibboleth. That is authenticity. Now, I want to share a video with you. I want you to know this video I'm going to show you, I don't agree with everything in this show, this particular show, but this particular scene and this episode was really cool. My wife actually watches the show more than I do. And she goes, honey, you gotta see this. And I saw it. I go, that's going to go great with Sunday's message. So watch Shibboleth, West Wing.
Mr. President, how's it going? Sir, we've taken a couple dozen meetings in the last 2 days.
You met with Chinese embassy officials?
Last night. They say
Christians aren't persecuted in China. Since they're not oppressed, they don't qualify for refugee status.
Under U.S. or U.N. conditions, yeah.
They also make the point that they broke Chinese law when they left the country illegally and should be sent back to their country of origin.
It's a fair point.
The INS agents also feel it's not uncommon in this situation for refugees to, how do I put it, feign faith.
Yeah. They'll be coached.
So how do you tell the difference between...
You guys know what a shibboleth is?
It's a catchphrase, isn't it?
A cliche.
Comes from the Bible. Then said now unto him, say now shibboleth. And he said sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. It was a password, a way the army used to distinguish true Israelites from imposters sent across the River Jordan by the enemy.
Sir...
I'm having one of the Chinese refugees flown here. I'll meet with him tonight.
Mr. President, I can't, you know, indefinitely with the turkey.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Mr. President, what are you going to ask the Chinese refugee?
I'm going to ask him to say shibboleth.
Mr. President.
This is awesome.
Chen Wei?
Yes, sir.
I'm Jed Bartlett. This is Leo McGarry.
How do you do?
Thank you for coming all this way.
Yes, sir.
Fellas, would you mind waiting outside?
Certainly, sir.
Would you care to sit down? Perfectly all right. Some sandwiches here. If you get hungry, you should feel free to eat as much as you please.
Yes, sir.
There are questions as to the veracity of your claim to asylum.
Yes, sir.
How did you become a Christian?
I began attending a house church with my wife in Fujian. Eventually, I was baptized.
How do you practice?
We share Bibles. We don't have enough. We sing hymns. We hear sermons. We recite the Lord's Prayer. We are charitable.
Who's the head of your church?
The head of our parish is an 84-year-old man named Wen Ling. He's been beaten and imprisoned many times. The head of our church is Jesus Christ.
Can you name any of Jesus' apostles? If you can't, that's okay. I usually can't remember the names of my kids, or for that matter.
Peter, Andrew, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas, and James. Mr. President, Christianity is not demonstrated through a recitation of facts. You're seeking evidence of faith, a wholehearted acceptance of God's promise of a better world. For we hold that man is justified by faith alone, is what St. Paul said. Justified by faith alone. Faith is the true... I'm trying to... Shibboleth. Faith is the true shibboleth.
Yes, it is. And you, sir, just said the magic word in more ways than one. Thank you. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Wow. Right?
Listen, I love the way they portrayed that. He came in, he was humble. He didn't back down from the questions being asked. In fact, he answered them beautifully. He had a humble, secure foundation. He did not back down. And that was the proof, not just the words he said. Folks, we can say a lot of things, but as that saying goes, the proof is in the pudding. Are you pudding? So here, we're told that the evidence was bringing them to a conclusion. This connection leads us to understand why the Sanhedrin are looking at Peter and the apostles and going, these guys are real. Right? They may be uneducated men, untrained, but they've been with Jesus. They got some shibboleth going on in their life. By their firm but bold declaration of Jesus Christ as Lord. And I'm sure that they are feeling the same conviction as when Jesus was standing before them. How could they not feel conviction when they were in the presence of Jesus Christ? And now here comes Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. And though they are not going to succumb, they are succumb with this recognition that these men have been with Jesus. They were uneducated, untrained men, yet they had complete intelligence within the sphere of their ministry. They were blowing the minds of these intellectuals. You know what the secret? Besides, of course, obviously being filled with the Spirit. But there was another aspect to what Peter did that we can glean from. Like I said, very few words. He just got to the point, he added scripture to it, and he was done. The secret is that they know what they know, and they don't venture beyond the point of their knowledge. One of the big mistakes I see Christians do when we want to stand up for our faith is we go into an area, we allow someone to bait us into going into an area where we really don't know what we're talking about, and then we end up not looking authentic. Every Christian, brother and sister, hear me. Every Christian is strong when we stand upon biblical facts and experiences that we have had. By the way, only experiences that we have that line up with Scripture. As Christians, we must not accept the bait, which draws us into unknown or forbidden territory. We should resist to draw from our feelings when most of the time my feelings contradict the Word of God. It does. And I'm sure yours does too. Sometimes I have to kill my feelings to be biblical. Because oftentimes I don't want to do the harder thing. And the Bible usually wants me to do the harder thing. Now I love this part. I love this part. Watch verse 14. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Dun-na-na. That keeps happening. I love this scene. This is so cool. They could say nothing. They perceived this man. We know this guy. He's been here for 40 years. He's been crippled from birth. He's in his 40s. He's been begging at the same gate for years. They've walked past him. Probably many of them, to make themselves feel good, had dumped money into his hand to pat themselves on the back. But they could not deny. It was proof of the truth that Peter was saying. The miracle was so public, it was so clear, it was so decisive. The man has been healed. And remember what he was doing? He was leaping and praising, causing a commotion. He drew a crowd. And then what does he do? He remains with them. When? During the interrogation. Unlike Peter, who bailed from Jesus when he's being interrogated, this man is so grateful for the healing that he's even still standing there, come what may, hell or high water, I'm with you guys. You brought healing. It reveals his gratitude and concern for the men who were able to bring the healing of Jesus Christ. The Sanhedrin were so amazed. So amazed. They could do nothing to deny the truth. The truth was standing right in front of them. Yet, they had no trouble at all denying Jesus Christ. Wow. Do you realize something, brothers and sisters? If you are a shibboleth, if you are genuine, you are that man. You are the cripple who was healed. You are the one who's been changed. You are the one who should be jumping with joy and shouting and making a spectacle of yourself if it's going to bring glory to God. I love what David said. I will be even more undignified than this in praising my Lord. Have you been changed? Can people see it in you? And they go, you know, I can argue theology with you. I can argue with verses in the Bible, perhaps, or even scientific concepts with you, but I can't argue with the fact that you're different, man. You're different, gal. See, that's the fact. That's the part that makes it impossible for people to argue if you have truly been changed. The people who have known me, the people who have seen the change in my life, can say all kinds of things, but they cannot deny the fact that Jesus Christ has saved and changed me. So I'm going to get a t-shirt that says, Shibboleth. That might be a good idea. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you what it means. Let's look at conviction, verse 15 through 18. I think we're going to make it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do with these men? 70 of the most powerful men in Israel, 71 actually, and they're going, what do we do with these untrained, uneducated fishermen? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. A miracle was done. They saw it in their own words. And remember what Nicodemus said, right? Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's one of the religious leaders. And he comes to Jesus and says, we know. Who's the we? The religious leaders. We know you come from God, for no one can do what you do. But most of them loved their sin so much they would not relinquish. They would not come humbly before Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Instead, let's just kill him, that we don't have to deal with him, and we can go on in our sinful life.
Wow.
People say all the time, people come to me, I don't know if you've ever heard this, you know, Pastor Randy, I'd believe if God would just show me a miracle. No, you wouldn't. They saw a miracle and they didn't believe. You know what? I'll tell you. I was an atheist. It wasn't a miracle that saved me. It was a broken heart and the need and a desperate cry for help from God. And he met me in my pain and it changed my life forever. No miracle needed. And then one day I looked in the mirror and I said, you're a miracle. Well, golly. Verse 17. Oh, see, look at their intent. But so that it spread no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. From now on, they speak to no man in this name. The threat, we're here, right? They didn't keep their mouth shut. That's why we're here. It was not effective. And later on, it'll go from threats to beating. And then when beating doesn't work, it'll go from beating to horrific murders. Verse 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now, where are the disciples right now? The disciples are in hot water. Hot water. They will continue to find themselves in hot water. But hot water is good. It gets you clean. Listen, sometimes we need adversity in our life to get our attention. Sometimes adversity, difficult circumstances, is a purifying agent. It makes me go, wait, God, is it this what I'm going through? Is it because there's sin in my life? It causes me to first look at the sin in my life to get it out. It's a cleansing agent. Hot water is good. You find yourself in hot water. Maybe you're in hot water right now. It's good. Examine your life. Get the sin out of there. Get right with God. And if there's not any habitual sin, then stand firm, be bold, and go headlong into the battle. Now, I want you to understand something here. These religious leaders, they don't get it. Why? They said, don't teach in the name of Jesus. That's not what Peter did. No. Look what he called, he said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. First of all, Jesus of Nazareth. In case you want to know which Jesus, the one from Nazareth, the one you killed, remember? But he calls him Jesus Christ. Christ is a Greek word for Messiah, anointed one. Jesus, the anointed one of Nazareth, whom God raised from the dead. By the way, which Jesus? He's alive. He's the only Jesus of Nazareth who's the Messiah, who's also alive from the dead. And now he's what? The chief cornerstone. You cannot build a church. You cannot build salvation on anything else. He is the cornerstone. He's the beginning. He's where you start to build. And then he says, for there is no other name under heaven among men by which we must be saved. So he says this. He's the Messiah. He's a cornerstone. He was dead. You murdered him, but he's back alive. Don't worry about it. And by the way, now you're scared because he's back and you hurt him, but you can be saved if you humble yourself under his authority. Here's my point, and I think this is the point of the scripture. We call Jesus Savior. We do. We call Jesus the Christ. We do. We make reference to him as a redeemer. But how often have you called Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was crucified, raised from the dead, and the only one who can save your life? How often have you brought that title to him, his full title, all that he is? Because there is no other title. There's no misunderstanding his authority when you encapsulate his full title. And that's what Peter's doing here. Not just Jesus. It really bugs me when I hear people say, just call on Jesus. Which one? My gardener? Jesus? No. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was crucified and is alive, raised from the dead by God, and by him only can you be saved. Only, and you need a Savior. That's his title. What Christ do you preach? What Christ do you speak of? And here's what happens to us. And I'm guilty too. We see a painter's rendition of Christ. You know, a figure that is tenderly colored and wonderful lights and shadows, just a really vibrant. We go, wow. We might even buy it and take it home and hang it on our wall. Huh. It's a piece of art. We've heard the song that a musician sings or plays. Christ has been sung with a flow and a rhyme and chords. That's not Christ. That's not the Lord Jesus Christ. That's worship that is to be offered up to him. Even today, I'm expounding on the Word of God, and my speech can't save the intellect in a person. It can't happen. Only a surrendered encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified for our sins and is alive, can save us. Listen, unless you acknowledge that, you're going to leave here and you're going to return to your sin. And you're going to say, ooh, that was nice. I did my thing. I did my duty. And yet still be so far from God. These guys, these Sanhedrin, they were the most religious, most prayerful, most tithers, most memorized scripture than all of the people in the land, and yet they were lost. Think about this. We have the Colorado River here. Pretty cool body of water flowing. But can the Colorado River receive the ocean? No. How can we encapsulate Jesus in a painting or a song or a sermon? The river can't receive the ocean, but the ocean can receive the river. Christ can receive you and I. He can receive our hearts if we will surrender it to him, but it can't be the other way around. Do you have a life that speaks shibboleth? Genuine faith, boldness that comes from the Holy Spirit, but a humility and a love that doesn't overstep the bounds but respects others. That's a fine line that only the Holy Spirit can bring. But there's two sides of that line, though. There's the people who stand on the bullhorn, hey, you're going to hell if you don't get saved, and that's so abrasive. And I'll ask, I do this often, how many of you were saved by a guy with a bullhorn on the side of the street? Right. I've never met one. But then there's the other side. There's that. And then there's the one who never says anything, flies under the radar, warm the hands by the fire, not discipling anyone, not pouring into anyone's life, not being a person making disciples. Hey, Jesus said, go ye and make what? Disciples. Okay, Lord, and someone else. That's a lack of the Holy Spirit. That's a scary thing. Because Jesus said that the road in the church is broad. There are many, and it leads to destruction, and there are many that go by. But the road to heaven is narrow and difficult and agonizing, and few that find it. Those are the shibboleth. But common sense, let's look at common sense. Verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. Ha ha! Okay, religious dudes, followers of Jehovah, you tell me, which would be better, for us to listen to you guys or to listen to Jehovah God?
I don't know.
For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. See what he did? He stays within what he has seen and what he has heard, what he knows. He doesn't go beyond that. But you know what we have here? We have civil disobedience. Civil disobedience. The governing authorities are telling them to stop preaching Christ. Guess what? That could very soon be America. What are you going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach Jesus. Is there anything else? Is there anything else worth talking about? Is there anyone else worth praise and honor and glory? Is there anyone else, anything else worth the breath in these lungs? No. He saved me. Worse than crippled. I was going to hell. And he saved me. I'm going to dance. I'm going to jump. I'm going to proclaim. People are going to know that guy's weird. Verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go. Finding no way to punish them, because the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. How cool is that? Yeah, 8,000 people. And you're a political person. You got 8,000 people going, yay, Jesus. And you're like, okay, we better chill. We're going to have an angry mob here. Not good. So these guys, all they're, okay, all right, we're going to let you go, but stop talking about Jesus. Okay. See you later. For the man was 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Now, next week, I love this. Because we're going to see the response of the persecuted church is not to picket, not to grab signs. The response is going to be to pray. To pray. And so as the ushers come forward and the worship team comes up, here's my question to you. Because we're about to take communion, folks. A time when the believer reflects on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And if you're not a believer, I'm going to ask you why. And if you are a believer, I've got to ask you this. Have you received the Holy Spirit? The question is not how trained intellectually you are. That's not the question. How many books have you read? How many books of the Bible you have memorized? Not whether you're able to construct a convincing argument. No. The question is, do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you have a true and authentic walk with Christ? We shall know whether we receive the Holy Spirit by the fire that is within our heart. Do you have that fire? As we prepare to take communion, I got to ask you, have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you surrendered your life? If not, this is the time to reflect and ask God, have I been bold? Have I, Holy Spirit, have I been quenching you? Have I been grieving you, Holy Spirit? Jesus Christ, am I proclaiming you rightly? And here's the cool part. As you hold the cups, the juice, and the bread, you can confess those sins between you and God and say, Jesus, I need you, Holy Spirit. Father God, I need to proclaim your Son. Lord Jesus, give me the strength and forgive me for my failures. And what's so cool is it's healed ASAP. I just love that. Father God, we pray for these elements, and Lord, I pray for the ushers who are going to pass them out. And I pray, Lord, for the body, that if there's anyone here who is not saved, that they would not take the communion. It's only for the saved. But if they want to be saved today, they can confess their heart before you. They can confess their belief for you. They can repent of their sin, and they can be made alive, Lord. I just pray for healing today, healing of souls to eternity. And Lord, for us who know you and who have surrendered to you, as we hold the communion, we remember what it cost you for us to be saved. Thank you, Father. Amen. Hold the cups. Two of them. Separate. We'll partake together. Yes, Lord, we so love you. And Father, we can't thank you enough for sending your Son, Jesus. And Jesus, we can't praise you enough for giving all of yourself to receive us. And Holy Spirit, we cannot just be in awe of the fact that you want to use us, empower us, equip us, Lord, for your work to bring glory to the name
the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, as we hold this bread and we remember how your body was broken, was ripped, and was torn for us, we want to say thank you, Lord, and praise you, Lord. Let's partake of the bread. As we hold the cup, you said, Lord, it was a cup of a new covenant, a covenant in your blood, shed for the remission of sin. You poured all of your blood out, every ounce, Lord, to save every ounce of sin that is in us, to wash it away, wash us clean. And Father, today we just want to thank you for that. We want to praise you. We want to reflect on that. We want to pray that you would forgive us of our sins. And so, Lord, as we partake, please hear our cries. Let's partake. And so now, Lord, we just want our lives to reflect true walk with you, Lord. Not artificial, not religious, but a true walk with you. May you, Holy Spirit, be the earmark in our lives. And so, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that you would bless them, convict them, encourage them, and equip them. Father, we love you, praise you, and honor you. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said,